you'll open in your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, say this: "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And then I always add verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him." God is eternally, ever present in our lives, faithful to us. I'd like to just share with you what God's faithfulness is as an outflow of his character, and then demonstrate through the Word of God how he manifests that faithfulness to us. First of all, God is faithful because that's the way he is. That word right there in Lamentations 3:22, it says, his compassions never fail because his loving kindness never ceases. And then look at verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes pictures can make a thousand or even a million words, so turn back to a beautiful picture in Exodus 17, because I want to show you what God's faithfulness is, because this word shows up in a most unusual context in Exodus 17. And of course, the scriptures are always the best commentary upon the scriptures. And if there's ever a difficult question, most likely God has already answered it either around the area we have a problem or in some other area. And in Exodus 17, verse 12, we find a beautiful portrait of what faithfulness is and how God has faithfully cared for us this year. Let me read to you. It's in the midst of the fight with Amalek and the Amalekites. And if you remember, Moses is getting on in years. He's closing in on his 120 mark. He's had a long, long time, 80 years in preparation. Now he's starting to lead the children of Israel. So he's getting a little bit old. But look at verse 12, because he's still pretty strong and he's leading them. And it says, "And Moses' hands were heavy." God told him as long as he kept his hands up, Israel was going to just wipe out those Amalekites. And as soon as his hands went down, they started losing. And so he'd lift them back up, and it would make a great movie to show, you know, that he would be winning and they would be losing. Well, his hands were heavy, and so they took a stone and put it under him. And this is Aaron and Hur, and they supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other. Thus his hands were, and there's our word, faithful until the sun set. And I think about God's faithfulness is that often he has been like a pillar of support to hold us up. That's part of his faithfulness. It means steadiness. It means firmness. It means unmoving. And I can't think of a better way to be unmovable than to have the Rock of Ages propped under us. And so we see Aaron and Hur upholding this octogenarian, his hands, as they were getting weary being held up all day, by putting a rock under them, and thus they were steady. And thus God is a firm and steady God. It's the same word. He is one who is faithful. James puts it a little different. If you turn to James 1 and verse 17, it's the same concept of the steadiness of God, his inability to fluctuate as he deals with us. And James puts it in a very astronomical way as he talks about God in his unchanging, steady, firm faithfulness as a part of his character. It says, "Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." Now that's an interesting term for God, the Father of lights. He's called the Father of spirits and the Father of all ages, and he's called the Father of many things. The Father of lights is an interesting term. And then he explains it. He says, "With whom there is no variation." Or the King James, I remember when I memorized it, says variableness. Even in the ancient world, they had mastered the art of cutting down trees with a cross-cut saw. And you know, if you want to have a good cut, you have the teeth of the saw on little angles so it cuts more. If they're all perfectly lined up, it'll just go in the same groove, But if you have just a little variation in those twos, and I know a rip saw, I remember I used to cut things up in my father's workshop, his good hardwood lumber. And I remember I'd take a rip saw, and boy, that did the job, because the teeth are set off just a little bit. You know what it says here in verse 17? With God, there is no variation. He doesn't come in different directions. Or, look at the end of verse 17 of James 1, there is no shadow of turning, the King James says. In the New American, it says, there are no shifting shadow. There's not a shifting shadow. This is the astronomical word for an eclipse. With God, His faithfulness is never eclipsed. Nothing ever stops it or blocks it. There is no variation in the way that He deals with us. He is steady. He is firm. He is faithful, as the Scriptures tell us. But also, turn back to Isaiah 33, because not only is God's faithfulness manifested in the fact that He is firm, He is stable, He doesn't vary, He doesn't ever get eclipsed, His grace doesn't have anything that can stand in its way as He sends His righteousness toward us. We just remove ourselves from receiving it sometimes. But Isaiah 33, and especially in verse 6, talks about a second aspect. Not only is God steady toward us and faithful toward us, but His steadiness in our lives, look what it does. And He shall be, and here we are again, the stability of your times. God's faithfulness is that which brings stability to our times. It's that which brings, in the midst of, well, especially here, the judgments of God, and as chapter 33 is talking about God's judgment on the nations and even coming upon Israel for their unbelief, He is the one that through even difficult times brings stability. He's the one that gives to us that faithful assurance, His steadfastness, as the Authorized Version puts it. So God is steady. He, as He relates to us with His steadiness or His faithfulness, brings a stability to our lives. But this comes, and turn back to Isaiah 25, just a few chapters back, this comes in our lives for a definite reason that has to do with God's faithfulness. Look at Isaiah 25 and verse 1, because there's a marvelous facet to God's faithfulness. Verse 1, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will give thanks to Thy name. For Thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, what? With perfect, what? Faithfulness. You see, God is characterized as a part of His eternal character with being a faithful or a steady God. James, in the earliest New Testament epistle, looked at him and said, God doesn't vary. You know, if you look up at the stars sometimes, they look like they're twinkling, and that's atmospheric disturbance. But actually, when you look at the stars with a telescope, there are stars that vary. Some of them pulsars and others. They give varying pulsing light. God doesn't pulse and diminish and pulse and diminish. He doesn't vary. He's never eclipsed. That's His character. Because of that, we saw in the chapters just after 25 that God therefore brings stability to us. What's the greatest stabilizing thing? Verse 1 of chapter 25. That God is working wonders. He has a plan that was worked out long ago. If you remember Don Walker, who was with us this summer, he lives right on the border of East Germany and West Germany. And we just got a letter from him and then another good friend of mine who lives right outside of Corazon Aquino's headquarters there in the Philippines. And both letters came yesterday. It was interesting, as the Philippines went through their rebellion and as East Germany in the last month has gone through convulsions, the Walkers said, it is hard for us to believe that those borders are open, that we paid dearly to take Bibles across for the last 25 years. The folks in the Philippines said, we can't believe that we saw airplanes dropping bombs right out our window and God kept us faithful and how quickly our nation changes. And we look, and if we look at 1989 purely from a political standpoint, so much has happened this year, we don't even know what the ultimate results will be of those things. But there's something we do know. Verse 1 says, I will exalt thee, I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders. God is doing that in this world. If you want to know my commentary, I believe that the Lord is giving an awful lot of people one last full dose of the gospel. China, Russia, right now Trans World Radio has opened up a station inside of Russia. That's unheard of in their entire history since Bolshevik Revolution 72 years ago. It's just incredible. Soon, probably, China will open. All of the Eastern Bloc nations, I remember traveling to every one of them, how difficult it was to even get up in a public service without having police there. And now things are changing so rapidly. God has a plan. He's working a wonder. One-third of our world was in communism and couldn't hear the gospel freely. God's opening the door to that because he has a plan formed long ago, which he has done with perfect faithfulness. God is in control. And what's amazing about that is that he knows the length of our days. And sometime if you read in Psalm 139, I often comfort people with this, that God says, I know every day of your life before you ever lived one of them. They were written in my book. Now, there's something stabilizing and faithful about a God who has planned out the length of our days, as the psalmist put it, as he was fearfully and wonderfully crafting us for his glory. He also knows the limits of what we can endure. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10 that there is no temptation that comes our way that God doesn't already know our limits. You drive over the bridges, right, especially in the wintertime, and you look at those signs and it says, load limit, 10 tons. No trailers and tractors allowed across this or whatever. You know, they have all these signs. Did you know that God similarly knows how much we can endure? And he has faithfully said, I'll let no temptation take you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. And he won't allow you to be tempted above what you're able. He said, every temptation that comes your way, I am going to give you the way of escape from it. Because in his perfect planning, he knows the length of our days. He knows the limits of our strength. I like the way our Lord Jesus put it in Matthew 6. He said, I know your needs. I know what you need. He said, if I can clothe the lilies of the field, if I can feed the birds of the air, he says, don't you think I know what you need? We're of such little faith. Sometimes we get so concerned and overwrought about the fact of some little or big thing in our life that God sits back and says, I know your needs. I know what you have. He said, in fact, he says, I've already numbered. It doesn't say he's counted the hairs of our head. What does it say? They're numbered. Isn't that amazing? To me, that speaks of a little more than just counting. He knows how many there are. And for some of us, he's even subtracting on occasion. He knows that intimate detail of our life. And God, in his perfect planning, knows our length of days. He knows the limits of our strength. He knows our needs. Psalm 103 tells us he knows our frame. And God is faithful because he knows our frame, that we are what? Yeah, it's okay to say it and remind ourselves that we're dust. And just as he breathed into the dust of the ground the breath of life, so an appropriate moment, according to his divine plan, he is going to take that breath back to him, that ruach, or spirit. He knows our frame. And he has told us that we should apply our hearts to wisdom and redeem the time and allow the treasuries put inside this frame to show. I also like this, talking about God's faithfulness. In Psalm 139, it also tells us that he knows our words afar off. And if anything has been a disappointment this year, in most of our lives, it might have been words that we spoke that we didn't know the ultimate end of where they were going to end up. And God said, I know your words before you speak them. I know your thoughts afar off. He knows those things. And he said, if you'll come to me, I'll set a watch at the door of your mouth, that you sin not against me with your lips. So God, as far as the way that he is a God of faithfulness. He is steady, like Moses' hands with a rock underneath them. As James saw it, he has no variation. He isn't eclipsed. It's part of his eternal character. He therefore brings stability or steadfastness to us as we believe and yield to him. And all this is because of his perfect planning. He is in control. But turn back to Deuteronomy 32, because I want to conclude this aspect of God's character by showing you a very clear and beautiful passage. This is Moses' song as he approaches the end of his life. He sings a song to God. He sings a song to the nation. He talks about the future of what God's going to do with Israel. But this sweet writer of Scripture, Moses, in Deuteronomy 32, says this, "Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass and the showers on the herb. And for I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God." Okay, Moses, let's hear it. He said, distill down my words, and I'm going to ascribe to God his greatness. Here it is, verse 4. "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just." And here's what we're looking for. "A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Here's Moses looking back now over nearly his 120 years. He looks at growing up in Pharaoh's palace. He looks at all the oppression of the people. He looks at his 40 years of preparation on the backside of the desert. And then he looks at 40 years of leading a grumbling, complaining, murmuring people. And he looks back at that whole line, and he says this, "The rock." Boy, he had a good portrait of God, didn't he? The rock. It's not that insurance company that's the rock, right? God is the rock. His work is perfect. That's what Isaiah was saying. He says he's got perfectly formed plans from long ago. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. So what is God? He is faithful. That's just his character. But as he relates to us, he's more than that, because that attribute is eternal with him. He now enlarges upon it and communicates to us in a faithful mode, and it becomes reality in our lives. And I want to show you in Psalm 33, and we have to quickly move on here. Psalm 33. Because as we look back at 1989, as we look forward to every day, every hour, every moment the Lord shall give us, Psalm 33 tells us something. Because it relates God's faithfulness to his word. And that's something that has to be an emphasis in our lives. It's something that has to be very much before our eyes at all times, that more than God's eternality, which is far removed from us so much in our consciousness, God has related to us that faithfulness through his word. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 33. "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness." God's faithfulness communicated to man is an aspect of his eternal character, but it's in concert with his eternal word to us. God is faithful as he accomplishes what his word has laid down for us. Now, you're in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, we call that section of the Bible the old, what? Yeah, it's okay to say it. The Old Testament, which is really the Old Covenant, right? That's the same word. The New Testament or covenant is the other half of our Bible, the front half. If we look at that, we think about that Hebrew word that speaks of how God deals with us according to his faithfulness to his covenant. His old covenant, his new covenant, his old way of dealing, his new way of dealing. I want you to see now Psalm 136, because this is what we're going to do this morning, but I want you to see it in a biblical form. Because God is faithful as a character facet of his eternal person, God is faithful as he deals with us. He has most faithfully dealt with us in his word. His word is an accounting of his faithful dealing with us as human beings. But look at Psalm 136, because 26 times he says the same thing in this psalm. And if you're like me, every time you read this psalm, you kind of go, ditto, 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 right? Because especially if you're reading it to your children, it's such a repetitive thing. But we can't overlook what it's saying, Psalm 136. Let's look at the second half of every verse until we get it down. For his loving kindness is everlasting. For his loving kindness is everlasting. For his loving kindness is everlasting. It sounds like a broken record, doesn't it? Why did he do this? And why is this a feature throughout the book of the Psalms? Because that word loving kindness, the word hesed, speaks of loving loyalty to his covenant people. Loving loyalty to those to whom he's made promises. Loving loyalty at a high degree with those to whom he has made a promise. I remember my Hebrew professor wrote his whole doctoral dissertation on hesed, this word. He said it's the most magnificent word to him in the whole Bible. And it speaks of the fact that God makes a promise, and once he makes a promise, he just sticks right on to accomplish and fulfill and to loyally minister to those to whom he's made promises. Well, start in verse 10 of Psalm 136. And this is an example of what God rejoices in recounting to us. You see what this is, starting in verse 10? It's a narrative of God's dealing with his people. And he says in all that, and he emphasizes all the way through his loving kindness in dealing with those to whom he made promises. He smote Egypt and their firstborn. And I can just imagine the antiphonal choir as they went, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And then perhaps Moses or David or the priests or whoever was leading in this time would say, and brought Israel out from their midst, for his loving kindness is everlasting. With a strong arm and an outstretched arm, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He divided the Red Sea. Why? Because his loving loyalty to the people he chose is everlasting. You say, why are you reminding us of this? Because God is blessed, God is worshiped, God is pleased as we recount his faithful hand in our lives. Number one, because it reminds us of his character. He is faithful. Number two, because it reminds us that he is dealing faithfully with loving loyalty according to his covenant that he has made with us, according to his word that he has spoken to us, according to his promises that he has given to us. All the way through to verse 26. This psalm goes on, reminding Israel of how great God's faithfulness has been to them. Psalm 23 says the same thing. His goodness and there's that word mercy or loving kindness, is following us. Psalm 89 says it seven more times. All the way through from Psalm 5 all the way through to the conclusion of the Psalms, it's talking about the fact that God is faithful, loving kindnesses, his mercy is toward us, his covenant people. So God is faithful in character. God is faithful in dealing with us. If I was writing a psalm for 1989, then this is what I would write in the biblical motif. As we look back at 1989, at the year that God has given us to live, we can look back at God's loving kindness to us. In 1989, sinners have been supernaturally converted and born again because God's loving kindness is everlasting. Saints have been gloriously ushered into Christ's presence at death because God's loving kindness is everlasting. Sick ones have been comforted in their distress because God's loving kindness is everlasting. Those who have been shut in and away from contact with other folks have been visited because God's loving kindness has been everlasting. Hungry people have been fed because God's loving kindness is everlasting. Spiritually blind have been given sight. Deaf ears to the gospel have been opened because God's loving kindness is everlasting. Poor have had the gospel preached to them. Afflicted have heard the good news. Saints have been edified. And in brief, God has been mightily at work in our midst. God is faithful. God is faithful to us. What do we do? Well, we should worship him who is faithful, because that's his character. We should be reminded that he deals with us faithfully according to his word. And all of this should cause us from our hearts to say, as you have faithfully led us, as you have been the stability of our times without wavering, we look to you to similarly care for us. For his mercies are everlasting. His loving kindness is to all generation, to those that fear him. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's worship the Lord in prayer just now. Thank you, dear Father, for Jeremiah being able to write those beautiful words in the book of the Lamentations. And Father, I think of the destruction that was going on all about him at that time. We think of Jerusalem lying desolate. And in spite of that which was your plan for those people, he could write, all of this was accomplished because you are our portion, because you are faithful. Dear Lord, we exalt your name. And if we were to write a psalm for 1989, we would say, you have been at work in our midst, for your mercy is everlasting. Your faithfulness is to all generations. We rejoice. We praise your name. We thank you, for great is your faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. We thank you. We look back and close the chapter of this year with grateful hearts for your great mercy to us. And Father, we are expectant of what you shall do as we wait upon thee. And so we do this morning. Minister to the heart of everyone here this morning that which your Spirit discerns that they need. For some, if they have come and they have listened and they have not comprehended, if they are in need of illumination, if they need to have the light of the gospel break upon their souls, we pray that you would convict them of their lostness and draw them to yourself. For your saints that are present this morning, we pray that you would quicken us, that you would cause us to be filled with the fullness of your power, of your grace, to be conformed to your image. And in everything, may we extol your faithfulness toward us. For Jesus' sake, amen.